praise God. We literally breathe by Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this offering. We thank You down through the years when times got tough, You came through. Lord, You came through by moving on people just like these folks and others. And Father, You've always met the need. We've got 37 years of God meeting the need. So Father, we come to You once again today. You know the needs of this ministry. You know the needs of our personal life. Lord, You know the needs of this congregation. And one of all our needs, Lord, is to give liberally that You might bless us liberally, Father. To give bountifully, to sow bountifully that we might reap bountifully. And Father, we need the harvest, Lord. And we thank You for it in the name of Jesus. Thank You for Your blessing on our giving today. When we give because we love You and we want to see others come to know You. And everyone said amen and amen. They're going to come to You to receive the offering today. We don't take offerings. We receive offerings unto the Lord. If you have your Bibles, and we're going to try to keep Sunday night a little bit more timely, time conscious. We'll of course give way to the Holy Spirit. I won't make a promise that I can't keep, because if the Holy Spirit says do something, I want to do it. Remember the song, if I do what the Lord say do? Amen. And say what the Lord say. Well, sometimes the Lord do want me to say some more, praise God. But I'll do that if He wants me to. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. But I'm aware that we are all in a different situation than people were some time ago because of time constraints. People's responsibilities, our kids, everything else that's going on. So if you choose to participate in these services, I want them to be spiritually enriching. I don't want you to feel anything but good because you're coming. I want to get into more study, particularly on Sunday night, where we can line up on line, precept upon precept. I would love, and I'm kind of choking at the bits when the Lord releases me to get into a study on the book of Revelation. And it's a tough study because there's so many scholars of prophecy that do nothing but deal in that area, it seems like. And they all differ. You can read four books on the book of Revelation. You will not see a consensus even among Pentecostal, full gospel. They differ because they're all trying to figure out some of these things. And so there are some things that even if they figured it out, it wouldn't make that much difference. I mean, if you figure out, you know, the plagues particularly and all, it's not going to much matter. You're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. So it's not going to make that much difference to you. Amen. So it's not something you have to have total clarity on some of these issues. But one thing we need, there's some highlights in the book of Revelation that we really need to have clarity on. And that's what I would love to teach on, those things, praise God. If you're just trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, I'm not the man to talk to. I don't think anybody's got that down. Every generation has to pick a new one. Can you say amen? I'm being honestly, you know, if the Lord tarries 25 years, they're going to have to pick somebody besides Obama. Yeah. Amen. I mean, they just, honestly, amen. They'll have to say, no, it's not him. Did you know you can go back down the line? They thought Hitler, because of his desire to rule the world, they thought he was the Antichrist. Before him, they thought it was Kaiser Wilhelm. And then they've been trying to figure it out. But he won't be manifest until he that letteth is taken out of the way. Can you say amen? So figuring out who the Antichrist isn't the real subject of the book of Revelation. It's finding out who Jesus Christ really is. And once you find out who Jesus Christ really is, all that scary stuff is not scary anymore. Praise God. Because you know Jesus is Lord, and He's in control, and everything's working according to His ultimate eternal plan and purpose. Praise God. Amen. And if you're one of those people that get so excited, amen, when the tension builds in reading a book, and you just flip over to the end of that, here's a spoiler for you. In all of this struggle with the devil, we win. Can you say amen? Without a doubt, the church does not go under. The church goes up and comes back. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 49, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 49, verses 1 through 4. Now, I'm going to try to slow down. As Doug said, the anointing comes, and it comes very strong, and I'm apt to just preach because I've studied this. I know it. But I'd like to get some knowledge into people this morning. But I can't hardly teach without preaching, and I shouldn't preach without teaching. Okay? Does that sound right to you? Because if I just preach, here's some good preaching that can stir you up. A minister can come out highly anointed. I've heard this is the reason I can repeat it. I didn't say it, however, nor repeat it. I've got my double-barreled Holy Ghost shotgun filled with Holy Ghost buckshot, bless God, and I'm going to let the devil have it with both barrels. Well, that's good, and that's exciting, and people can get enthused about that. But you don't know a bit more after it's over than you did when it started. And people are not perishing for lack of inspiration. They perish for a lack of something else, and that's knowledge. I met a man at a funeral not too long ago, and he lives in Arkansas, and he preaches quite a bit down in western Kentucky. And I'm from Kentucky, and I understand Pentecostalism. I'm Pentecostal from head to foot and all the in-between. But I have learned to sit at Jesus' feet that I might learn something. I had to learn that because I frankly went to church to get that blessing. The greatest blessing we could ever have was, how was church this morning? Boy, it was good. You know what really made it good? The very best of the best, the creme de la creme. The preacher didn't even get to preach. That's what really made it good. That meant we all got to shout. We all got a blessing. We had a Jericho bar. We had a wonderful time at church. But we didn't know any more when we walked out that door than when we walked in. And people that shouted the house down, amen, literally, many of them had shipwrecked lives and shipwrecked marriages and couldn't do real battle with the devil because he'll stand back and wait till the dust settles. And how many know no matter how much we kick up our heels, the dust is still going to settle after a while. You still got to go out that door and you got to face the real giants in your life. And you face a real devil. He's a formidable foe. We shouldn't fear him. But in our dealings with him, the Bible said to be sober and be vigilant. Because you're not dealing with some little entity that isn't set for your destruction. And without God's power and God's armor, we're no match for him. Our shouting doesn't scare him. Our speaking in tongues doesn't bother him. Amen. But our following through with our faith and following Jesus in our life, that really upsets him. Because it's not only going to bless us and keep us safe from his deceptions, it's going to be a witness to the world about us, and others are going to know Jesus Christ just because we choose to follow him. Can you say amen? So what God wants to do is bring us this knowledge and bring us this understanding. My people go into captivity, the scripture said, for the exact same reason. If there's bondage in our Christian life, it's the same reason. Now, people go into captivity for lack of knowledge. Can you say amen? So the Bible said, don't let the mighty man glory in his might, or the wise man his wisdom, or the rich man his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Amen. They that do know their God, they will be strong, and they will do exploits. So when I teach on the book of Revelation, as we talk about that within this sermon context, amen, I want to hit the highlights. I want to hit the stuff that is relevant to life and godliness here and now, praise God. And I want you to know so much about Jesus Christ that you're not fearful of the Antichrist, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Church needs to figure out who Jesus is in our life and who we are in him. I want to talk to you just a few minutes because we don't have, the clock is running, about instability. Instability. The primary and chief reason for all lost blessings in the Christian life is instability. Everybody say instability. Instability. Now this is going to get close to everybody in this room. It's going to involve me last Sunday when I was at the end of my rope. And honestly, if it wasn't for people praying, I don't think I could have been here this morning if people hadn't prayed. Some of the things I've studied for this message actually were said in that service. Literally, some things that I had studied for this message came forth while people were praying for me. And it was kind of a double confirmation to me that we're on the right track. Let me set this up just a little bit. When sons in ancient times, sons and daughters born into a family, the sons were the heirs in that economy. But the firstborn child in every family was the double portion heir. Everybody say the double portion heir. And it's self-explanatory. When you go to divide up the inheritance, the firstborn gets the first two. And then the rest is divided equally. It's like a pie cut in 10 pieces. The first two go to the firstborn. The other eight equally to the rest. Firstborn is the person of the eldest, usually in a family. It don't always work that way. Sometimes it works different. But usually in a family, amen, there were how many kids in Mama Hall's family? Seven kids. The eldest son was the one who was put over the dividing of the inheritance. It wasn't much, but someone had to be in charge of that. He was a man of wisdom, a man of integrity. Generally speaking, that person is generally the person with the wisdom and integrity. Now, we know some people grow old, but they don't grow up. Say that with me. Some people grow old, but they don't grow up. And that's really what we're hitting here. It's this issue of being old enough to know how, old enough to know better, old enough to be a leader, old enough to be developing integrity and wisdom, and yet still being totally governed by the flesh. And because of that flesh getting in the way of all the great things that we are called to and purposed to, we lose the blessings. Not only the blessing of our inheritance, but the blessing of influence. How many know there's a blessing in influence? Satan has tried all the years of this ministry to try to kill the influence of it. Because he knows there's an anointing here. And I don't bring that. I don't lay any personal claim to that except God called me to do this. And there is an anointing to do it. And Satan loves to undermine anything that is a threat to him. And believe me, the anointing is a threat to him. Because he knows what happened to my son can happen to anybody, anywhere that really surrenders to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The anointing breaks the yoke. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So, it doesn't matter that it's a small context. Amen. The anointing still breaks the yoke. And the anointing, my son was listening to a gospel message from the 80s, early 80s, back when in the Jesus movement, they called it. You know, we could use a new Jesus movement in the church, where Jesus is exalted again. His name is heard more than the preacher's name or the church's name or the evangelist's name or the organization's name. And he was saying, Dad, after all of those years, you can still feel. Said, maybe you can explain it better than me, but you can still feel it coming through the tape. Can you say, man? I said, that's exactly right, because when God anoints his word and it comes in power, it stays on it. You can play it 1,000. It's not created by the enthusiasm of the people in a room. You can take it out of a room and send it to China. Can you say, man? And when they play it in China, it's going to be there. If it's in here, it's going to be there. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. That's the power of the anointing. A lady called me from Indiana whose husband committed suicide. And she said, our family went into such disarray, and me and my children, we didn't know where to turn. We didn't know what to do. We had people praying for us and comforting us, but nothing seemed to help. We had all of these questions and this great emptiness and this great tragedy. It's one thing to lose someone to a car wreck, even someone who is murdered, but someone who takes their own life. So hard to face it, to deal with it. And she pulled out a tape from one of those cassette tapes from way back 20-something years ago. And she said, we've just about wore it out playing it. And she said, I want you to know that in Indianapolis, Indiana, we played that tape over and over and over. And God began through his word to heal our hearts and to heal our soul. Praise God. I got a call from a man with a family who's a youth leader in Indianapolis, which is her son. Amen. From an Assembly of God in Indianapolis. And he called and said, I want to thank you, Brother Venable, that when I was 9 years old, I was baptized in water at the Holy Church of God. And I just want you to know what has happened since then. I want you to know what I'm doing for God. I want you to know that even as young as I was getting a strong foundation under me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's the things that you need to hear sometimes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What happened? What's the result of all of these things? That firstborn son was the double portion heir. He had the influence over the family. He had the integrity. He had all of the makings of a man that God could use in a mighty and powerful and wonderful way because of his influence. This heir stuff is not about just getting material gain. It's about becoming what God has called us and purposed for us to be. Can you say amen? It's not, faith is not just to get. It's to be, to become. Amen. The anointing is not just to exalt us and categorize us as spiritual people. It is to become something. Amen. And you shall receive power from on high. You shall receive power from on high. And you shall be witnesses. You shall what? You shall be. It doesn't start with you shall do. It starts with you shall be. Of course the power is going to be there to do these exploits and these things. Thou shalt tread on serpents, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. These gifts will operate through our life. That's the doing. But initially it doesn't start with something to do with, but something to be. And thou shalt be witnesses unto whom? Unto me. Doug, you prayed it this morning, wherever we go, that his fragrance. Did you pray it? You say it? You prayed it. His fragrance. Wherever the early church went, it wasn't just the miracles confirming them. It was that precious character of Jesus Christ coming through their lives in such a way that at Antioch, amen, they looked at them and said, they are Christian. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the first place that they were called. Not where they made a claim to something, but where they, people recognize something in them and say, they are the true followers of Jesus Christ. They are Christian. They are Christ-like. God puts Christ-likeness above all the charismata, above all the power gifts and ministry gifts. And we have great services where ministers with great anointings are imparting anointings to others. And that's biblical. Stir up the gift, Timothy, that is in thee by what? By the laying on of hands. That gift is laying dormant because you're not using your faith. But it is there. The gifts and calling of God, what? They're without repentance. He doesn't recall them. I could quit preaching out of discouragement, but God will not lift the call because I quit. Amen. I'd rather you get rid of me than me quit. If you get rid of me, then it's between you and God. If I quit, it's between me and God. I'd much rather it between you and God. Let the whale get you. Can you say amen? For getting rid of me. And let me be blessed for being faithful. Praise God. Amen. I don't want to lose that. But listen to what happened to Reuben. Reuben had all this in his corner. He was the eldest. He was the firstborn. And here's the sad story of someone who didn't appreciate his place. And by the way, this is going to relate to you. I know this is the old school and this is ancient times. But we are called to be more than just Christians. We're called to be the sons and daughters of Almighty God. We've already been qualified as sons and daughters of God. Amen. We're called to be just like Jesus. And all the true ministry, and this is going to kind of separate the true from the false. It's not just doctrines alone. It's the goals of those ministries. He has said in the church, what is the goal of the prophet? What is the ultimate goal of all the ministries together, taken together? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And sometimes there's a difference of opinion over that. There's actually five. But pastor and teacher are synonymous in the sense that a good pastor must be a good teacher. Amen. He's got to do it. And he can't just do it through the correct theology from the Word of God. He's got to do it with his life. Amen. The easiest part of an anointed call is preaching to you guys. It's so simple to preach to you. Especially when you're not frowning. Can you say amen? It's super easy. That means your heart is open most of the time. Amen. It's easy to do that. If you're called and anointed to preach, Brother Taylor used to say, Brother Venable will preach at the drop of the hat. He's willing to drop the hat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I preached at a Baptist church in Plant City years ago and been asked to come and speak there again sometime, and they actually want me back. This will be the third time. Go figure. It's got to be God. Supernatural. The miracles. It's a miracle. They still happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Held them longer than they've ever been held in the history of the church. 15 after 12. Honestly, that's the truth. And they were coming and they said, but it's okay. It's okay. We loved every minute. We wanted to hear more. Not that they'll tell your preacher that. He'll give you more if you just let him know. Amen. He won't get fired if he does. Anyway, I'm always glad to get home. Can you say amen? I'm always so glad to get home with people that don't, you know, and these are good people, don't get me wrong, but y'all are great. Pat yourself on the back. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Y'all are great. Y'all are great. Yeah, I know. Praise God. But the goal of all ministry, pastor and teacher, evangelist, prophet, till we all come to the unity of the faith, be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but grow up into him who is the head, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Everybody say the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. If your son was here, how tall? 6'3". You know, little 6'3". I would bring him up right now and stand him right here and stand beside him. All ministry is to cause us to come up to where Jesus is, not to bring Jesus down to where we are. Can you say amen? Amen. When they start trying to make Jesus like us, we got a big issue and a problem. It's a book written long ago by a name evangelist who you probably recognize, but he wrote the book, so it's no secret. Amen. How I Know Jesus Wasn't Poor. And the scriptures he used was really, really something, because I wonder how he's going to do this, because he came from a little town called Bethlehem, least of the cities of Judah. He grew up in a town called, oh, by the way, he was born in a manger. Everybody say a manger. A manger, as you see it, is not what they really, it's not what it was. It's not this little thing, you know, little nice looking, little cozy, comfy looking, little V-shaped wooden thing. And, you know, little baby Jesus laying in the straw, all cuddled up and swaddled in clothes. No, this was a flat table. Manger means flat tabletop. And all the animals came and they took whatever it was and they just put it out on that flat piece of stone, and they all came there and they gobbled it up. And all the animal saliva and all the leftover food from all the times they've dumped stuff on it, it's all right there on that table. Feed trough. But it wasn't even a trough, it was flat. And they laid him on it because there wasn't anywhere else to put him. That's where he was born. He came from a town, grew up in a town. Oh, he grew up as a carpenter's son. Everybody say blue collar.
Blue collar.
Come on, carpenters don't wear white shirts and ties and suits. Amen.
Amen.
It's time to pay the temple tax. Ain't nobody got no money. They said Judas, they know they was rich because they had a treasurer. I got a treasure. Somebody's got to get the gravy through the goose. Amen? You understand what happens when you get paid and then you got to pay your bills out of what you got paid? That's, you feed a goose gravy, it's going straight through. It's in one end and out the other. Can you say amen? In order to make sure all the bills are paid, you got to have somebody to pay the bill. They said, if you got a treasure, you got to be rich. How many in here have a bank account? How many keep the records? Write checks or anything? You're a treasurer. How many are rich? I'm not talking about the Lord now. I'm talking about the green stuff. Can you say amen? How many are rich? You mean you're all treasurers? And you're not automatically by virtue of being a treasurer? Well, if there's so much money in the treasury and they're walking around with these huge money bags, they're ready to pay the temple tax, and they're broke. They got everything they need to go from day to day, but they don't have any extra money. That didn't make you feel kind of in good company with Jesus and those guys? Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, you ain't got it to burn. Praise God. We got it to give and we got it to live, but we sure don't have it to play around with. Amen. Don't play the slots if you go to Vegas. In fact, why go to Vegas? Praise God. Amen. My mother said she went to Vegas and she played the slots. Of course, it just made Vegas richer, but amen. I wish she had won. Glory to God. Amen. She would have blessed me if she had won. But, you know, it's not in God's plan for it to come that way. He wants me to depend on Him. But anyway, she said, in one of these places, just to get your juices going, behind a glass showcase, there's $1 million in cash. And by the way, it's not the kind of glass that you've got in your house either. Amen. Because people run with a sledgehammer, hit you and the glass, take the money. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. So this is one of these serious glass things. But there's $1 million right there, and you can look at it. And when you look at it, you think, all of that could be mine if I get 3 lemons. The only time I got 3 lemons is the last 3 cars that I own. Before I became a Christian. And He put His blessing on my lemons and made them apples and stuff. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good today. He's so good today. This man had the opportunity, as we do, as the children of the Most High God, to, number one, have a great blessing from the Lord in our life. And, number two, to be, through that blessing, an influence for Him. Our victory is not just about us. Amen, living in that freedom and that joy. It's about us demonstrating to a gainsaying world that our God is different than Muhammad. Our God is different than Buddha. Our God is different than Krishna. The Christian faith is not like any world religion. Our God is a true and living God. Can you say amen? And the devil knows that people are going to notice if our life is different, if it's lived differently. And it's not just the anointing that's going to get their attention. It's the character of Jesus. Listen to this. This just won't take too much longer, but I don't have too much time. So here's the situation. Now, Reuben is just given over to the flesh. He doesn't see any of these things or value any of these things that he has by birthright. He doesn't value them. All he values is the immediate gratification of fleshly sin. That's all Reuben cares about. He don't care about his influence in this family. He don't care about his witness to the world. He doesn't care about the double portion blessed. I mean, he assumes he's going to get it anyway. And that's the sin of presumption. He literally sneaks in at night into his stepmom's bedroom. He lays down in the dark, has a relationship with her. She realizes it's not her husband. And he feels like, but my sin is covered, but she uncovered it. This is different than Samson, who was tempted, or David, who was tempted when he saw a young woman. This woman did nothing to tempt him. He was the total aggressor. He went out looking for illicit sex, period, to fulfill that immediate gratification and lust within. The firstborn, assuming it's carved in stone, I'm going to get the blessing no matter what I do, so why bother being concerned about what I do? Wrong. You sin like that, you're not getting that double portion. Reuben, you're foolish. Satan has convinced you that you can have it both ways, that you can have the honor and privilege of being the firstborn, you can have the double portion blessing, but you can sin without consequence. What a lie from the pit of hell. He's telling that same lie today. And there are ministries today are teaching and preaching that you can have it because it's your birthright, and whatever you do can't have any effect on that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something that is entirely wrong and it is not biblically supported. I want you to listen to this. Particularly you that have been under the anointing and you want to be anointed, you want that anointing to flow in your life, I want you to listen very carefully. So here's the scenario. Now Jacob is going to bring this man before him, his son, his eldest son. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last day. Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben." And Reuben, I can just see Reuben squaring his shoulders, thinking his sin is covered, that she'd be too ashamed to say anything about it. His sin is covered. Squaring his shoulders and thinking, he's talking to me first. Why is he talking to me first? Because I am the firstborn. See, the compromise didn't start with that lady. The compromise started when those boys wanted to kill Joseph. And who held the authority under the father in that family? Reuben. And, you know, actually, there was a little bit of virtue in him. You got to give him credit because they wanted to just outright kill him. And Reuben said, no, let's just put him somewhere and get him away. And they put him in a pit. Literally, most scholars believe it was a broken cistern because they dug it deep to hold the water. The clay in the bottom would finally erode and wouldn't hold water anymore. So that they threw Joseph in and he couldn't climb out. And at any point in this whole story, Joseph had the influence and the authority under the father. Not Joseph, but Reuben. All Reuben had to do is the firstborn son say, "This is wrong. Stop it right now." He could have done it, but he didn't. He wanted to please, to be part of, to go along with. He compromised. That was in his character. He had the birthright to be the firstborn son with honor and anointed and influence, but he didn't have the character. There's so many people that are seeking those gifts to bring us honor among the congregation, but we're not seeking the character of Christ. And the Holy Spirit primarily wants his character replicated in us. Romans 8:29 said, "For everyone he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of" who? Amen. "Of some great healing evangelist, some great preacher." No, to the image of who? His son. Yes. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even unto the death of the cross." I'm going to be honest this morning, painfully honest. A lot of anointed preachers don't have that character. And we don't care as long as we get a touch. I look for Christ-likeness before I look for anointing. And no one is perfect yet. But we all should be progressing and growing in that direction. Because the fivefold ministry is to bring us to the fullness of the measure of the stature of whom? Of Jesus. Can you say amen? And be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable. What is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? Amen. Well, I read one preacher said, well, there's the goodwill. Not the fashion shop. I'm talking about the goodwill of God. Can you say amen? Well, there's the goodwill. And then, if God really wants this for you, and you kind of give in to a little bit of that. But then there's the acceptable will. It's not really where he wants you to be, but it's okay. He'll bless you anyway. And then there's the perfect will. No, this is one and the same. His good, acceptable, and perfect will is one thing. That you be conformed to the image of his son. And be no more conformed to what? To the image of this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Why? What mind is going to do that? Listen, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present represents your body, which means your mind, your soul, your spirit. This is a container for the whole thing. Amen. Holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your true spiritual worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Qualifies or disqualifies everything we do in the choir, everything we do behind the pulpit, everything we do in missions or giving. Amen. Our true spiritual worship is when we're totally yielded to the will and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Till Jesus is the Lord of our life. Hallelujah. Until we realize what God wants to do primarily through the anointing and the Spirit and all of the ministries is to not make us more like them, but to make us more like Him. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, and Jesus learned obedience through getting so blessed every way He turned. No problems, no persecutions. Everything just worked out fine. No, He learned obedience the way we all have to learn obedience. In a fallen world, in a faulty body. Through the things He suffered. See, when I use the word suffer, I see that dog on the Little Rascals again. Remember Petey? He used to see some things that make one eye just go like that, round and round and round. Congregations are so far detached from the fact and the reality that he that suffered in the flesh, not in your spirit, not in your soul, not in your mind, but in your flesh. Listen, when I want to hit somebody so bad, I just feel it. I feel like, you know, just once. God is gracious. He'll forgive me. Can you say amen? Just this once. I'm not that way anymore, but I used to be that way. You didn't know about that. Nobody knew about that, but I thought about laying hands on people, and it wasn't the kind of hands you're thinking about. Can you say amen? I just thought one time. There's a bunch of 17, 18-year-olds using such foul language in Taco Bell, and I was sitting there thinking, now I can say something, but I know what they're going to do. If I say something, they're going to cuss me. They're going to get right in my face and dare me and cuss me. If I say one word, they're going to do that. I'm not a coward. I'm not afraid. But I don't want y'all to have to take up an offering to bail me out. Can you say amen? And I don't mean just bail me out, but bail me out until I can stand trial for decking some 17-year-old that's bigger than me. I could never drive a school bus. You'd have to bail me out. I couldn't teach at Plant City High School. You'd have to bail me out. Forgive me, Jesus. Save him, Lord, when he wakes up. Please save him. Hallelujah. Amen. When I suffer in the flesh, I'm not giving up something except what my ego, my temper, My that old temperament, that's, I have to acquiesce to the Spirit of God. And when I suffer in the flesh, I don't give in to that. I feel it, but I don't get to do it. Can you say amen? There have been times, as much as I love you folks, as much as I love the gospel, as much as I love the Word of God, there are times, and I mean frequently, that I look at a picture on a wall that has a pastoral scene. I'm not talking about a preacher in a pulpit either. I'm talking about a cow standing out by a big red barn that says Sea Rock City on the top of it in a great field out there. And I thought, boy, if I could just have a double wide, Pamela could be the queen of my double wide trailer. Amen. Didn't they write a song about that? Where have you been? You got to get... I'm not that old. Sammy Pearsall. Kershaw. Yeah, you know that song. Look, he's younger than us, and he knows that song. I thought I could live right here. I love God. I'll do what I can for the Lord. But you know, I can just live out here in this pasture, in this field. I don't need much. I could give up cable. Get satellite on top of the barn. Why not? They'd bring it right on down there. I'll put that TV in there. Me and them cows be watching something good. Amen. Praise God. Three Stooges, amen. Green Acres, yeah, we'll pipe in Green Acres. Just go out there and let it. You know, I'm not the first one to feel that way. Jeremiah, great, powerful, anointed prophet of God, major prophet. He said, I wish I had a house out in the wilderness. He said, I wish I had a house so far out that nobody even comes to see me. Preacher went to invite this true story I was telling my, honestly, he said, I wish I had a house out in the wilderness. Come on, I'll find that for you and quote it to you. Amen. From the Word of God, he said, there are times I wish I could just get away from everything, get out here, and don't bother me. If you don't want to hear me preach, that's fine. If you don't want to serve God, that's fine. That's between you and him now. It ain't between you and me and him no more. I've told you what he told me to tell you. You don't want to hear it. Why should I hang out here anymore? In fact, I don't want to hear any of this anymore. I wish I was way out in the wilderness. David, the great king of Israel with all those miracles. You know what he said? Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Then I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Being king with all these enemies. And I don't mean just giants. I'm talking about them people you go to church with. He said if it was an enemy like that giant, would be no problem. But this was a man I went up to worship with every Sunday that tried to kill me and destroy me in terms of my influence. Church trouble, church problem. Oh, that I had the giant killer of Israel. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I wouldn't stay here another minute, he said. You could have that crown. The only thing that really made him want to be there, because in that city of David was a temple of God. And when he did get run into the wilderness, he said, I'm like a man dying of thirst. Amen. Because the temple is there. The veil is there. And I can't go behind it, but I know who is behind it. Can you say amen? And just to get that close to that presence. Oh, my heart longs. Amen. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul longeth for thee, O God. I am hungry for the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But everybody's had those down in the dungeon when they did cast him in a dungeon for preaching. Amen. He got down in the mire and sank down in the mire. Amen. He said, I will not speak for God anymore. It's bad enough they're not listening. No one's caring. No one listens. No one's really hungry. And now they're tormenting me for preaching it. So why am I suffering this? It isn't accomplishing anything. I'm not going to speak anymore. And he sat in the silence, in the darkness, the dampness. And he said it was as a fire. Shut up. In my bones. Oh, that my head, Jeremiah 9, were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I may leave my people and go from them. But they all be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like bows for lies, and they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, saith the Lord. Take heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Jeremiah said, I'm tired of it. I don't want to be around it anymore. It's not furthering God's cause, and it's killing me. Preacher went to visit a reclusive man. He was concerned about his soul as he aged. He wouldn't talk or interact with people around him. He'd go to the store, wouldn't say hello, go straight to the car, go home, shut the door. Living a hermit type life in a community. Preacher finally got his address and people began to pray for him. He went and he knocked on the door and he said, sir, I'm Pastor So-and-so. I pastor the church about four blocks from here. And I just came to see if you needed anything, how you're doing, and more than anything else, just to meet you. He said, go away. I don't want to talk to no preacher. He said, I don't want to talk to you right now as a preacher. I just want to talk to you as a person. He said, may I come in? He said, no. You may not come in. He said, sir, can you tell me why that I cannot come in? He said, you're a people. You're a people. What was it, the Peanuts character? He said, I love the world. I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. Living with the saints above, sis, won't that be glory? We're all changed. But living with the saints below, now that's another story. We need special grace. We need forgiveness. We need to be kind-hearted to one another, tender-hearted. Doing what to one another? Why would we be forgiving one another? Because we keep bugging each other. Can you say amen? Thank you for the hearty amens this morning. We're going to have to get real in here at some point in this service. I don't have no wings. I can't fly away. Oh, by the way, you can change churches, but here's what you can't change, and that's your family. Everybody say, da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Satan's going to find a way to use somebody to get to you. He's going to find a way to use somebody to get to me. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Reuben. Listen to what he's forfeiting because of his flesh. Sinful flesh. Unperfected. How childish. How stupid. Verse 3 says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water. Literally, it would read unstable as water when it begins to boil. It's no longer placid. It's now active, stirred up, and boiling over. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defiled it. He went up to my couch. Eldest son, firstborn, had by birthright a place of prominence, preeminence in a Jewish family, and was the inheritor of the double portion birthright. I want to read you that birthright. Listen to it carefully. Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17, as we work toward a closing. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn son be hers that was hated. See, you can't play favorites with this. This was set. But a person who is the firstborn could disqualify himself. God is no respecter of persons. And if we show respect of persons, the Bible said you sin. Guy's got two wives. He loves one, hates the other. But the hated wife has the firstborn child. Well, you know what he'd like to do? He would like to give the inheritance to the wife of the son of the wife that he loved. But he can't do it. He's legally bound, morally bound, before God bound, to honor the firstborn covenant. Amen? Listen to it carefully. Then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that he hath, he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. You understand what this guy is giving up? For a cheap thrill. What he's putting on the line. Do you realize what ministers put on the line? For a cheap thrill. That have preached for years. What they're willing to put on the line. To have that cheap thrill. Ministers can lose sight. Of what it means. To have this inheritance. From our heavenly Father. Can you say amen? I can lose it. You can lose it as a child of God. And every time a minister falls, there, something has went wrong in their value system. It wasn't just the devil seeing they were going to reach so many people. He came in and stopped them. Listen, he can't come. If he could do that, nobody's ever going to get saved. Nobody's ever going to preach the gospel. The devil does. God never gives him that kind of authority. Well, I guess I better put my foot down and get Brother Venable, because he's getting ready to have a great ministry. I'm going to go down there right now and stop. No, no. If he could do that, nobody would ever get out of the gate to preach the gospel. Can you say amen? The Bible tells me and you to give no place to him. If you don't give it to him, God has not authorized him to take anything from you. Amen. He's got to deceive you. He's got to defraud you. Because he has no authority to take, amen, your birthright, which is rightfully yours. Did you know victory is a birthright for the children of God? Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. We are double portion people. Because we've been born of God. And everyone that's born is just like his firstborn. How do you know that? Because Jesus is the firstborn. Born among many brethren. And the Bible said we are the sons of God. And if we're sons of God, we are heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to treat you like my firstborn. His might, the beginning of his strength, the excellency of his dignity, and the excellency of his power. Listen. The Bible calls us a holy nation, a royal priesthood, chosen generation, peculiar people, that we might show forth the praises of him in your King James. Don't see a choir with their hands lifted or a congregation lost in worship when you see praises. It is the Greek word virtues. Show forth what? Amen. The virtues of him which has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Can you say amen? What is the virtues of him? It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's the replication of Christ's character in you and in me. So that, amen, it's no more I that live. It's no more you that live. It's Christ that liveth in us. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll clear up one thing before we stop this morning. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 9 through 14. Wow. I want you to know what Elisha was really asking for. I want you to know what he had in mind when he talked about a double portion. For years, as Pentecostals, when we hear double portion, we think of one thing only. We think of twice the anointing that somebody else has. Why do we need twice what somebody else has when they have everything God gave them to accomplish what he purposed for them to do? Why do I need twice the anointing of some other preacher, unless I want to be twice as great? You got to watch that stuff. I want it to glorify God. Well, you don't need twice the anointing. You just need the anointing for what he's called you to do. Hello? Why do you need twice the anointing? Elisha wasn't after power and preeminence. He wanted to be a servant of God. He didn't want there to be a gap. He knew that Israel needed a prophet with power. And there's nobody to fill those shoes. He said, somebody needs to step up and fill those shoes. I want to be a candidate to fill those shoes so that God can be glorified. Can you say, man, not so I can be exalted. Amen. Will you read this with me before we close? This is important stuff. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit, of the Holy Spirit, of God's spirit, of thy spirit be upon me. Are you reading from 2 Kings 2, chapter 9? A double portion of whose spirit? His spirit. His character. He knew the reason the anointing was flowing through him like it was. It's because of the kind of man that he was before God. He wasn't just... See, we're not asking to become that man before God or that woman before God. We're just asking for the impartation of those gifts and anointings. Because if I'm imparted gifts and anointing, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Deacons in the hall. Who's the most spiritual of us all? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We strut our stuff. Saw a guy get out of a huge pickup truck in Plant City. He had a t-shirt on. And he had a big turkey with that big fanned out tail. When they strut, they fan out their tail. And he had on camo pants. And he had a National Rifle Association sticker on the window. And I know that he loved to go shoot him a turkey, amen, for Thanksgiving. He don't want to buy one at Publix. He want to kill him a turkey, amen. And it said something on there about just loving it. I just love it when turkeys strut their stuff. You know why? Because what a target. If you can't see him any other time. When that big male turkey fans that big old... He don't do that till he's trying to strut his stuff. But when he's strutting his stuff, he fans that big old tail out. You know, and the hunter says, whoop, there he is. Can you say, man, there he is. There he is. I got him. And you know what happens when we strut our stuff? You know what happens when we start strutting our stuff and we want the anointing? Oh, yeah, we're going to see a lot of people. Everybody I prayed for fell out. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We almost will blow our hand like somebody, you know, wow. Can you say, man, I'm with it. Listen to me. It's so crazy. It gets so crazy out there. When we see double portion, we think of anointing. We don't think of character. When we see the gifts of the Spirit, we don't see the fruit of the Spirit anymore. Amen. Though I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. Though I give my body to be burned, it don't profit me anything. Though I have all wisdom to understand all mysteries, it don't profit the kingdom anything. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels... It's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's a lot of noise that draws attention to you. And when they see you, that's all they see is you. And when they see us, they're supposed to see Him innocent through us. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. 37 years as a pastor, I've seen lives shipwrecked just like Reuben's. Because all they wanted is the anointing and the gifts and the positions to lord over everybody else. And every ministry gift is supposed to be residing in a servant heart so that everything that's done is done to the building up of the body, not the exalting of the ministry or the minister. Hallelujah. The most anointed man on this planet was Jesus Christ. He took a basin and towel, pulled off their sandals and washed their feet. He said, if I don't do this, you don't have any part with me. You can claim your revelations, write your books on your trips to heaven. You can do all. You can get your clubs and maybe become a millionaire and have tens of thousands of followers. But you can't follow me till you get a servant heart. Hallelujah. And you lay it down for the sheep. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I pray thee that a double portion of what? Thy spirit. I want to be like you, sir. I want a character like yours, something that God can entrust with this power, that God can entrust with this position, something that honors God so much that God will honor your faith and your prayers when you pray. I want the qualities of your character. You know what we're supposed to be after? The qualities of Christ's character. Let this mind be in you which was in Him. For as much as He suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Whom He did foreknow, He did predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. Be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, which is, amen, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. It is the prize of the high calling. It is not heaven. Heaven is the place you're going to live. Amen. Amen. There's something higher than living in the holy city. When He comes, when He appears, amen, we will see Him as He is, but we shall be just like Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Corruptible going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Mortal's going to put on immortality. Hallelujah. This old weak flesh is going to get a glorified state. Hallelujah. Woo! And He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see, in other words, it's something I can't give you. Something only God can grant. But He said, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if thou see me not, it shall not be so. Came to pass as they still went on and talked. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Oh, by the way, He said, you stay here, I'll go there. And other portions of Scripture. He said, not so, Master. What if this happens? No, I'm stick. And that was beginning to shape His character and show that He was in it for the right reason. Can you say, man, listen to this. And He had persistence and perseverance and halava koshan. He wasn't unstable as water. He could be trusted with a double portion. Kadaba koshanda, or the blessing given to the firstborn. Listen to this. Moshalaba. And the Bible said there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder. Now, by the way, He didn't go up in a chariot. The chariot of fire was to get them separated. Because if He just took him up in the whirlwind, there's going to be somebody hanging onto His leg. Did you see Up? The cartoon Up? Anybody see that? It's a cute little cartoon. Amen. This little kid hanging on this guy, grandpa's leg. Amen. He would have been the little kid holding on to Elijah's leg. Had to separate. The chariot of fire and horses separated them. And the whirlwind took Elijah up. And Elisha saw it and cried. This happened last Sunday. This is spiritually speaking now. My Father, my Father. This is, oh, it's that dad and son thing start, but it's a spiritual thing. It's not His physical son, but it's His spiritual son in the faith. And He said, my Father, my Father. And a mantle, that double portion, a mantle. That anointing is going to come because there's a man down here who wants to be like the man that God chose to anoint. Who's the first person God chose to anoint down here in the new covenant? Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. How did He give the Holy Ghost to him? Without measure. Somebody say, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Without measure. If you think you got it without measure, I got news for you. There's more than you got. Can you say amen? If you think he's got it or she's got it without measure, there's more than he or she's got. Can you say amen? How do you know? Because you're not just like him yet. But the closer we get to him and the more we grow in him, the more God can flow through us uninhibited by our goals, our purposes, our weak flesh, our ulterior motives. I want to be great so everybody can recognize how great I am. Ain't seen nothing yet till you see me after my 30-day fast. Honey, they're not supposed to know you're fasting. You got your reward when they say, ooh, you're so spiritual. I could never fast that long. I tried it for 3 days and I fell right out on the floor. Had to get me some sugar. Not that sugar either. Bring me some chocolate. We get nuts about this. We see double portion anointing. We want it. Why do we want it? So we can step up. Jesus said the way to get this anointing is to come down. I say, I'm going to use this anointing to bless my brother. The only reason you give it to me is bless my brother. Bless my family of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want a double portion of you, Elijah. I want to develop into the man that you've become for God. Jesus is the man God wants everybody in this room to be like. When you lose that lofty goal, I don't care what gifts you get, what revelations you have, what things you understand about the Word of God. When you lose, as a Christian, that lofty goal which God has set for each one of us, has set the true fivefold ministry to achieve that one goal, ultimately, your spiritual progress has stopped. Oh, but I got greater revelations in the Word. Well, great for you. Are you more like Him? Are you more like Him? Because of all you know? It's about who you know. I got to explain a word to you. Disciple. Better say disciple. Disciple. Go and make what? Disciples unto me of all nations. Jesus wants true follower. And that word disciple means a learner. But it means more than that in the Greek. It doesn't mean just knowing what your master knows. It means becoming what your master is. Oh, thank you for the hearty amen. Maybe, and I'm not advocating some of the weirdy stuff in martial arts, you know. But their sensei, their master, they're not just learning how to kick somebody's teeth out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Remember Karate Kid? Anybody see Karate Kid? My, you're a spiritual bunch. You saw that one. Didn't know Sammy Kershaw, but you saw Karate Kid. What's the first thing? He's teaching him self-discipline and humility and obedience and reverence for authority. He didn't expect that. He wanted to learn to kick somebody's teeth out, right? You kick like a girl. No, I sound like a girl. I kick like a mule. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Anybody ever hear that boxer? You heard him on the phone and he was giving you a hard time? I mean, can you imagine him down at JCPenney's or Kmart or Walmart? What? Mike Tyson. Get him on the other end of the phone. He sound like, hello, how are you today? Well, I don't know what's wrong with your coffee maker. You bought it. Is it still under warranty? You're going to come down here and do what? You get down there, it's Mike Tyson. Excuse me, it ain't worth it. I'll give it to the Goodwill. Lord will bless me for it. Can you say amen? When we want to be seen and heard. We're wanting a double portion of the things that we think is so great about people. Stand before a great audience and have them buy your tapes and books and look at you with awe because you've got revelations, anointings, and gifts. That's not what this is about. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Can you say, man, and he made of himself no reputation. He didn't just want to be known as a faith healer. A man with gifts, but who he truly was is a Savior. Can you say, man, in God incarnate, when you've seen me, you've not just seen a man full of faith and power and gifts and anointings. When you've seen me, who have you seen? The Father. Because Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. And God gave him the Spirit without measure. I'm not reading this from here. I'm just looking for a verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He took up the mantle. Listen, Elijah saw it and cried, my Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and ripped them in two pieces and took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went and stood by the bank of Jordan. When he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. We all know where the Lord God of Elijah is. The question is, where are the Elijahs of God? Literally, where are the people that say, I want to be like my master. That's my portion. The prize of the high calling is not heaven when you die. There's a higher calling than just living in the holy city. Brother Venable, what is this? What Paul was after. Oh, that I might know him. Can you say, man? I want to be more like my master. Can you say, man? Somebody give God praise in this room. Brother, would you come? Give me the oil of thy spirit. Would you get that ready and let's praise him today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to be more like Jesus Christ today? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Will you stand your feet? We're going to sing one song. Is God good in this room today? Has he enlightened you to something today that you can take out of here and say, I know something, I saw something that I need in my personal life and walk with God? Hallelujah. Are you reaching to be more like Jesus? Do you want people to recognize your spirituality? You want them to recognize your gifts? Are you just aching inside because you can't be seen or heard more? What do you think about me? How many people appreciate your pastor? Amen. No, I didn't do that for an applause. But thank you anyway. I'm talking about outside of you folks. If I was in this to be seen and heard, I wouldn't be your pastor. I'd be out there trying to climb up into some pulpit of prestige, trying to show myself off to some pulpit committee and say, do you think maybe I could grace the pulpit of this fine church and minister to all of these fine people who will all appreciate all that I have to offer and all that I have to give? You've got to watch yourself, because you'll go after the anointing every time and not go after Christ's likeness if you're not careful. And if you do go after the anointing instead of him, guess what? That proves that you're unstable. Spiritually, you haven't figured out what you're really called to be before you're thinking about what you're called to do. And all the people that took an anointing and ran with it without becoming more like Jesus, they shipwrecked, unstable as water, with all of these blessings available. They still failed. They still came up short. Can you say amen? God is so good today. How many want to go on, amen, to know the Lord in this room? How many feel like there's room for you to grow spiritually? How many believe God might have sent you here to be challenged? Yes. How many know if God challenges us, then he wants to change us? But he has to have our permission and our full cooperation. I want to be changed. As we behold as in a glass. Who are we seeing in there? Us? No. In the Word of God, reflected to us, there's a person God wants us to see every time we open that book, which is our model, our goal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All spiritual growth stops when my people stop desiring to be more like my son and their savior. Gifts are not growth. Anointings are not maturity. Do you want more people to recognize your spirituality, or do you want more people to see Christ in you? Do you want more people to acknowledge your gifts, or acknowledge your sovereign, your king, and your savior? Your flesh will play some dirty tricks on you, because your flesh is your Reuben. It's unstable as water. You will not excel with God by trying to go up, only by bowing down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you. not so you can feel self-exalted, but so he can use you in a more influential way. Humble yourself. Get off your high horse. Quit waiting to be appreciated. Quit waiting for people to applaud you, because God didn't get you in this thing to be applauded. He got you in this thing to be a servant to him. And how do you serve him? By serving his body. Can you say amen? You know what the church is? All of you people that think you can detach and go out and do your thing somewhere and serve God and just be detached. No, you can't do it. Amen. This right here, this gathering right here, this is the body of Jesus Christ. And we are what? His members in particular. Can you say amen? When you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 How many people, once again, Brother Venerable, challenge me because I want God to change me? Raise your hand. Let's see it in here. Oh, God is ready to do some great things in the hearts of humble, submitted, committed people. Praise the Lord. Brother, let's just worship in this song before we're dismissed. Praise the Lord. We're not on the schedule of other churches. Some people have to.